Hello and welcome to another edition of the Balls to the Wall podcast, Picardy's podcast on all things football in South Africa and beyond.
Picardy!
Today I'm John T. Mark, Picardy editor, and today I'm joined by, on his own, Sibongiseni Gumbi, our senior football writer. Kaizer Chiefs expert and expert in South African football generally. Welcome, Mr. Gumbi.
Thank you, John T, and welcome back. We missed you.
Thank you. Yes, I've been away for a couple of weeks. Yes. It's good to be back talking all things local football. The season may have ended, but there's still plenty to chat about. It's not quite ended. We've still got the playoffs, but we won't talk too much about that because there's a game as we record on Wednesday afternoon, so we don't want to jump ahead of ourselves or behind ourselves or wherever that is. We're going to move instead. We're going to start with a sentencing that is upcoming for Orlando Pirates attacker Tembin Corsi Lorch. It's no longer an allegation. He's been found guilty of assaulting his ex-girlfriend. Not good news for Orlando Pirates or for Tembin Corsi Lorch, obviously. But it seems like he's in big, big trouble, Sibongiseni.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that such incident have to happen. You don't understand how do you hit somebody that you claim to love. I can't understand it. But it's happened, and it's good that the law took its course, and the lady didn't back off, because such cases, we are told that they don't go anywhere, because at some point they talk it out and they decide that, okay, no, just withdraw the case and all of that. So at least this one, it went through. And from the reports that we saw, Losh was not a credible witness in court. So it means that he was trying maybe to squeam his way out of it with his witnesses that were found to be compromised in court. So it's unfortunate for him. But I hope it's a lesson for everyone, not just football players, but every man in South Africa, to say, this is real. If you do this, it's a crime, and you're going to get punished for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. Everybody needs to be held accountable. You can't be a famous footballer, and just because you're a famous footballer, you get away with this sort of behavior. It's not exclusive to South Africa. It's also, we're seeing it quite a lot overseas. Violence against women is a real problem globally and needs to be dealt with. I mean, it's especially sort of ironic. Is it ironic, or is it just sad that Orlando Pirates, don't they have a campaign to stop violence against women running at the moment?
Yeah, it's very, it's a curveball for Pirates, because they have to make a decision on Losh, and they have to be harsh. You'll remember that when allegations of such things happened with Ben Motsoari a few months ago, they were very quick to suspend him. They even allowed the police to come and arrest him in front of his teammates, because I think they were sending a message to others that if you do such a thing, this is what is going to happen, and we're not going to protect you because it's wrong, and the club distances itself from it. So we are waiting now to hear what Pirates is going to say, because they might have to to make a major decision on Losh, even consider cutting him off altogether, or maybe give him a second chance. We don't know. Maybe he must head this campaign now, because he's a good example. It's happened to him. He knows now the reality of it. So maybe they should consider that option, because he's still a valuable member to the team in terms of his talent and skill. But, perhaps he needs to work on his behavior outside the field. And this could be a great chance for him to speak out about this and be the advocate for such campaigns, because Pirates has the campaign with Culling Black Label, where they, even in their games, they have those signs to say, stop it, don't do this. And it's unfortunate that one of their own, who stands behind that banner every game, is doing it now, is on the other side and doing it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, sentencing, I think, is in July, and we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. But once you're found guilty, is the onus on Pirates to now sack the player? He's been found guilty. They sacked Tandani and Chumayelo eventually after he tested positive for drugs. Is that a more serious offense? I don't think so. It's a very different offense, so perhaps it needs different guidelines and things like that. But definitely, if they're serious about about their stand against violence against women, then they need to take some serious action against Lorch. And we wait and see what Orlando Pirates will do about that. As Sibongi Seni mentioned, Ben Watchwari was suspended and subsequently reinstated. But we shall see what happens there. Moving on to Chipper United. Immediately, the name Chipper United creates laughter whenever it's said. Is it laughter? Is it anger? Is it despair? Morgan Mamia is back as Chipper United head coach. He did coach them for a few games. I think they beat Chiefs when he was coach last, but he's back as Chipper United make another coaching change. It's about the 4,726th in the last 3 years. They just about survived relegation this season with a game against Golden Arrows that had a very interesting sort of last bit where Golden Arrows didn't even seem to be trying to score. That is another subject for another day, or maybe a subject that we can't discuss. I mean, who knows about that? That was absolute nonsense. But yeah, let's focus on Chipper, Morgan Mamia. What? I mean, how, will he last a game? Will he last two games?
Do you think this is the start?
Will he even start the season?
He'll be fired in preseason. That's what people are saying.
Well, that's it.
If he loses a game during preseason, there's no guarantee he won't be fired. He must make sure that they don't play any of the big three teams in their preseason tournaments or preseason games. Because if he plays Pirates and he loses, and he plays Chiefs and he loses, he's losing the job before the season starts. And, Chipper, I'm sure, has always got another coach waiting. I'm sure Siema, he just spoke badly about Chipper when he left now, but I'm sure he'll go running again if Chipper calls. These coaches seem to enjoy this thing of Chipper, you know. But for Morgan Mamila, one understands he hardly has qualifications. I think he's got the minimum of qualifications.
Yeah, the absolute minimum required to coach in the PSL.
He has not coached anyway.
Yeah.
So if he gets that chance at Chipper, then why not? He has nothing to lose.
Well, look, I mean, it's the easiest job in football, in PSL football, because if you get sacked, well, everybody, I mean, you know, you can get sacked for winning a game, you can get sacked for drawing a game, you can get sacked for losing a game.
Yeah, like it happened with Dan Clate. He was fired because he was not playing good football. The team was not losing, but just because Bengisi was not happy with the kind of football he was playing then.
Well, in some ways, if you get sacked at Chipper, you just shrug your shoulders and go, well, that's what Chipper
do. I don't think it even reflects on your record.
No, I don't think anybody holds it against you. Gavin Hunt really, does anyone hold anything against Gavin Hunt? Maybe for his stint at Chiefs where it didn't go so well.
Yeah.
But for Chipper, nobody's going to blame Gavin Hunt for that.
People are blaming him for going there.
Yeah, well, maybe, but, you know, he needed a job.
The only blame Gavin Hunt will take is that he went there.
Or maybe he thought he could do something different to other coaches.
But the good thing that is that he taught Chipper a lesson because he went there with a watertight contract.
Yeah.
And so, just imagine, in 2 years he made the same amount of money that he would have made in 6 years because the Chiefs he left with, 2 years left on his contract, they paid him off. He went to Chipper, signed a three-year contract. They had to pay him off after a few months. So that was good business for him. So we can blame him for going there, but business-wise, that was some calculated moves.
I don't know if they paid him in full for both contracts, but if they did, then he's rolling in it. Yeah. Good for him. I mean, just make sure.
In 2 years he made the money he would have made in 6 years. So.
Yeah, not bad work if you can get it.
Yeah.
Not bad work if you can get it. We'll see what happens with Chipper United in the coming weeks.
Yeah, and on Morgan Mamila, I want to say...
He was at Swallows as well this season, wasn't he?
And I want to go to Swallows because they did something that's very wrong. They sort of eclipsed Musa Nyatama and praised Morgan Mamila in all their social media. It was all about Morgan Mamila, this Morgan Mamila, that, as if he was the one doing all the hard work. But all the while it was Musa Nyatama because he found him there. He was the head coach.
Okay.
But in terms of their social media, it was like it's Morgan Mamila because even their chairman would post videos of Morgan Mamila shaking hands with players and, you know, and all of that. But then what happens? As soon as Chipper calls, boom, he's gone. He leaves them like that.
Yeah. So there we have it. Morgan Mamila, coach of Chipper United. What on earth? Okay.
Don't be surprised if next time you hear Sibongiseni Gumbi, Chippa United coach.
Yeah, it could be. I could get the job. I mean, one of us, you know, I wouldn't put it past us. I'd probably take it if I can get a watertight contract like Gavin Hunt had and work for a year, for 3 years or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving forward, away from Chippa United, on to Bafana Bafana. I know you really wanted to talk about this, Sibongiseni, because you love Bafana Bafana, but we're going to. The squad for the game. Well, the thankfully irrelevant game against Morocco, or irrelevant in the sense of qualifying for the Africa Cup of Nations, because both teams have, which is coming up at FNB Stadium, I think on June 17, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
The two teams have both qualified for the Africa Cup of Nations, as I mentioned. Bafana do have, it's a good test for Bafana against the World Cup semi-finalists, and a team, probably the best team in Africa right now. Hugo Broos will name his squad. We're expecting to see many of the same faces we've seen all along. The interesting one for me, in fact, I wrote it in my editorial in the Picardi supplement this week, is Njabulo Blom, because Njabulo Blom did not come for the last game, the two games against Liberia. And I followed that closely, and obviously Hugo Broos had a bit of an outburst when he announced that Blom wouldn't be coming when he announced his final 23-man squad. But he seemed to backtrack a bit, because it does seem like Blom was, at that point, actually injured.
He always jumps the gun, doesn't he?
He jumped the gun a bit there, so hopefully he'll be a bit more cautious. But Blom is back playing for St. Louis, and he seems to be doing pretty well. He seems to be doing very well. But again, St. Louis are in the middle of a season. I know Bradley Cornell is their coach. He's a South African, but will they release him for this game, or will they say to Hugo Broos, you've got nothing to play for. Can't we just keep him for our games? The problem for Blom there, as I did also mention in my editorial, is that then his chances of getting in the squad for the finals might be jeopardized.
Yeah, but I would have thought that, the powers that be at SAFA would have seen it the way you see it, because it's unfair on Blom. He's just got back from injury. He's just cementing his place there. He's new in the team, so he needs all the time he can get there. So why invite him for such a game? Because just alert him that, you know what, you are in our plans. We wanted to call you up, but we're going to give you a chance to continue there, because we know it's in the middle of the season and, you know, and all of this and that. And just leave him for now, because we don't need him, really. If he comes, he might not even play. So why drag him all the way here? So it's a bit unfair, but you know how SAFA are. And, you know, and the game, just going to the game itself. Do you know how much the tickets are?
I saw the summer 20 rand.
Exactly. So it tells you how big this game is, you know.
Well, I think they're trying to get people to go to the stadiums, because it's common knowledge that Bafana games, however big they are these days, are not very well attended. So I think that's kind of sensible in a way to get people to go if they can fill it up a bit. But yeah, I think people will be excited to see Morocco, perhaps more excited to see Morocco than Bafana, for understandable reasons. I mean, depending on which squad Morocco call up, because they've also qualified, remember, they might call up a younger squad.
They did call the best players for their preliminary squad. So they're taking the game very seriously. You must remember that Morocco they want to be our biggest rivals.
They want to win the group, and they want to carry on with their form, and obviously then with
players, they want to have a good record against Bafana Bafana. So for them, it's nothing to lose, you know. And we that came here and showed us that Morocco means business against us, you know.
So. It will be an interesting game to watch, albeit. Well, I'm quite thankful, really, that I don't have to pull my calculator out and try and do math and figure out whether Bafana have qualified on goal difference or goal scored or head-to-head for the Africa Cup of Nations, because they have qualified. So Bafana fans don't need to worry about that. You can also watch the game with a little bit more relaxation.
We know that they've postponed our heartache to January for now.
It's coming. You know, maybe we can spring a surprise in the Ivory Coast.
Oh, God.
The
football gods would have gone crazy then.
Maybe just to finish off, we do have a good. Look, I'm quite heartened by the improvements or the form of some of our attackers. I mean, Percy Tau's been in great form for Al Ahly, scored again last weekend in the Champions League final. Lyle Foster, albeit he scored one goal for Burnley, does seem to be like part of a very good setup there. Of course, he'll be playing hopefully in the English Premier League next season. They've been promoted. You've got Lepasa, who did well in the last game. You've got Bongi Longwani. Yeah,
doing very well.
He's doing well in America as well. And, you know, so we have got, like, I mean, we're from previously moaning about the fact that we can't score, we still miss a lot of chances, but we have got potentially more attacking firepower than we had previously.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like these coaches like to say, Pizzo used to say that it's like a short blanket. You cover the head, the feet gets exposed. Now we've got attackers available. Now we have a goalkeeping problem in South Africa.
See.
After Ronwen Williams, who?
Yeah, I mean, okay.
Veli Motwa is older than Williams. So, you know, Melusip Telezi is promising, but if he moves to Pirates and doesn't get regular game time, then what happens? You know,
Goss had a decent season at SuperSport.
Yeah, so.
Maybe him. But yeah. So we'll see you with that. That squad's being announced tomorrow. That's Thursday, the 8th of June. So we'll just have to wait and see who's in the squad. And that's it for today. We're going to keep it short and sweet. Please do follow us on Twitter at Picardy with 3 A's. Like us on Facebook, also at Picardy with 3 A's. And get your copy of the Picardy supplement free when you buy the Citizen newspaper every Tuesday.
Thank you
to Sibonga Sani for coming in.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Cheers.